Welcome to the Voices of Legacy, where you're writing your legacy every day that you live. This is Pastor Carl, your host. Today on the Voices of Legacy, we're honored to sit down with a true pioneer in Toledo and Lucas County, a community empowerment major or captain. I'm not sure what your rank is. Is a sergeant?
Post commander.
There you go. with over 39 years of law enforcement experience and service, combat medic during the Vietnam conflict, an enforcement agent, investigator, federal instructor, and deputy director of Ohio Homeland Security, the legendary Mr. Earl D. Mack. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning. So thankful to have you in the building today.
Yes.
Tell us more about yourself.
Oh, well, it's not much to tell. I'm just a good old Toledo resident all of my life. Went to school here. Well, born here first. Mm-hmm. Went to school here. Gunko, if you remember Gunko.
I heard of Gunko, yes.
All right. L.P. Stewart. Mm-hmm. Parkland, if you remember what Parkland was about. Us boys that couldn't make it in regular school.
Ah.
And I wish we had that today. Went to Libby. Mm-hmm. Scott High School. Played little football for Scott.
Wow.
And then so
you're a bulldog.
Yes. Well, I'm a cowboy and a bulldog.
Okay.
after that educational experience, I was drafted into the military in 1970. Was trained and served as a combat medic for the Vietnam conflict, as I call it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I played music. For a long time. You used to play with Sweet Spirits and Andre Crouch and Disciples and travel with them for a while.
One of my other guests that we've had here, Lady Celeste Mitchell, told me something about that. She said you guys went to the same church.
The Trinity Faith Tabernacle.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. And she was telling me about how you played and all that stuff. I was like, real? Okay. Well, I didn't know all that.
Yeah. You know, the music for a while. I used to play with Gene Holden as well. I traveled with her for a while as a drummer.
Mm-hmm.
And then until something happened in that particular world, and I decided to change course.
Mm. And now?
Right.
And now what do you do?
Well now I'm a retired law enforcement officer. Was with the Ohio Department of Liquor Control for a number of years. Matter of fact, 27 years. Became the agent in charge of Northwest Ohio District Enforcement Operations. And when I retired from there, I then became the Deputy Director of Ohio Homeland Security for a number of years.
Oh, wow.
But even before that, I was a Toledo University police officer for a short period of time as well.
Mm-hmm. I remember we had an event over there at their new digs, a new location.
Correct.
Yeah, so you used to be one of them.
Yes, sir, I was.
Wow, yeah. Wow. So you probably have a lot of good stories and bad stories.
Yeah. Some good and bad ones. Most of them good.
Yeah, any that you can tell us? What's been your best experience in law enforcement in particular?
Well, just all of the support that I had, mm-hmm. During that particular time.
Yeah.
Created some great friendships with law enforcement officers, with those that weren't. Worked undercover for almost 6.5 years, so that was an experience.
Wow.
I had a great time, great experience, and there were some challenging times as well, but that's what law enforcement gives you.
Yeah, well, to protect and serve.
Correct.
And to do it undercover, that's a whole nother animal.
Yeah.
Could you tell us what your persona was in that time, or is it still top secret?
Well, not top secret, but I used to work a lot of narcotics investigations with DEA and a few other organizations, FBI, and worked all across Ohio, parts of Michigan in that undercover work. They used to call me... Bug. That was my undercover name. And I don't think you wanted to know me back in those days.
Oh, boy.
And I rode motorcycle and undercover as well.
Wow. So you had to think like a criminal?
We were very successful. And you're absolutely right. You had to think like a criminal. You had to live amongst them.
Look like them.
Talk like them. If you've seen the pictures, yes.
Yeah.
You had to know that. That whole kind of persona,
mm-hmm.
And you had to live amongst them too, because we had apartments where we lived in that community where we worked.
Did you have any fear in that? I know that's probably a crazy question, but I'm sure it's something that people would want to know.
Well, there's always fear. You can't have courage unless you have fear.
Yeah.
And so there are some close moments.
Maybe your cover might have been blown or whatever.
A couple of times, and I have a funny story, but I don't know if I could tell it here, but we were working East Cleveland one time, and you know we had to develop false friendships, and I had developed a false friendship with a young lady that was a bartender, and we worked because we were gathering information, and a guy came in one day and looked down. They called him Blue. Mm-hmm. I never will forget this. It's a funny story, and so Blue had went over to talk to the bartender, and said, "How well do you know them?" Because I had a partner by the name of Ron Lewis. We were called the boys. Mm-hmm. He said, "If you don't know him, he could be a cop. Do you know if he's a cop?" So,
and they were talking about you.
Talking about me.
Oh boy!
She came down and told me that. So I looked over at Ron. Our last names were Sean. Mm-hmm. Sean Wilson, mm-hmm. and Earl Wilson. I kept mine, and we had an apartment and mm-hmm. license plates of a car that if it was ran, it came back to Sean Wilson. Mm-hmm. And so after she told me, he thought she should look more into me because I could be a cop. And when she told me that, I waited until he went in the restroom. I won't tell you what happened, but after we came out that restroom, he was our best informant after that. But we need those undercover officers today because they can get close to what's happening.
Yeah, they're still working today. Correct. People don't think about that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. 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 So, and you had some big bust. I'm
oh yeah, we had a lot of local and really national raids because of what was happening in Toledo, Detroit, Lima, Ohio, down to Florida. This used to be a drug corridor.
Yeah, that, crossroads.
That they ran drugs through. And Mansfield, if you can believe that.
I believe it. I saw on PBS a documentary in regards to the history of Toledo and its storied history, prostitution, and many, many other things between Chicago and New York. This is the crossroads. As a matter of fact, what was the guy from Chicago? I forget his name now. But he had a condo apartment at the it's not the park, but that apartment complex near the Museum of Art here in Toledo.
The park is called Park Hotel.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, and there's a guy that's restored that place to its 20s era, and it's got some of that stuff in there. And he allowed me to go upstairs to one of those apartments. I'm like, wow, this is amazing.
Well, you know, you should go to the Toledo Club. I think it's on the third or fourth floor. Mm-hmm. They still have the old speakeasy. They pull the wall back and it's still sitting there.
Yeah, yeah. I remember taking a tour there. I don't think I went in that portion, but he was talking about that as well. But wow. Wow, and some things never change. Even now, it seems to be a huge issue that we have, not just narcotics, but human trafficking in this area.
So, we worked that from, a matter of fact, our human trafficking, the investigation started here in Toledo, took us all the way to the Playboy Mansion.
Oh, my goodness.
And it was an issue. If you can believe, Toledo had a connection to the Playboy Mansion because of alcohol, illegal alcohol runs. And so we were able to successfully shut that one down.
Wow. Well, you didn't shut down the Playboy Mansion.
Not that. That was interesting, but we can't talk about that.
Oh, my God. Looking back on nearly four decades of law enforcement, man, is that part of your motivation going forward to what you're doing now with the Buffalo Soldiers?
Well, the biggest part of my motivation, in 1982, I lost my 10-year-old son, firstborn.
I remember
through gunshot to his chest. And so from that period on, I really dedicated myself to children. Mm-hmm. That's why I'd done a lot of underage trafficking, underage alcohol, underage drugs, a lot of that, a lot of speaking to kids during those years and parents, and a lot of speaking about gun violence and those things, which we still do today.
Yeah, and gun safety.
Correct.
That's one thing that really attracted me to the Buffalo Soldiers now is speaking to it because, you know, they talk about I guess I'll say, safe sex, because they're going to do it anyway, yeah. And we're going to help them and give them, well, what about guns? Guns are going to exist no matter what we do. It makes sense to teach gun safety and the respect mm-hmm. of them and leave them alone and all the stuff that we teach with the Buffalo Soldiers. And I really, really enjoy that. And to engage the children, it's shocking. And your friend had said, and I witnessed how many children have actually, I mean, kids younger than my son mm-hmm. Now have actually put their hands on or fired a firearm.
Absolutely.
It's sad and shocking all in the same breath.
We do the NRA program, the mm-hmm. Eddie Eagle program, yes. And we walk into a room or a auditorium that's full of kids. Mm-hmm. We have a couple of weeks or so ago, we had about 300 kids mm-hmm. that we presented the program to, and we asked whoever seen a gun, every hand goes mm-hmm. up. When you ask whoever touched a gun, almost every hand goes mm-hmm. up. When you ask who shot a gun, about half the room raised yes. their hand. You ask them for experiences. And these kids, and I'm talking about kids, kindergarten kids, mm-hmm. first graders, are finding guns in their homes under the couch of grandma.
Oh, yeah.
Under the mattress. They will find a gun. If you take four or five kids and put them in a room mm-hmm. and hide a toy gun somewhere, and they'll look around. They will find that gun.
Yeah, yeah. Kids are very good at finding.
Yes,
guns. I was when I was a kid. But in Toledo, with all of the issues that we have, especially in the inner city, I remember a couple of years ago, we used to live off of Rockwood, and mm-hmm. there was a fully loaded automatic weapon in the tall grass right at Lawrence in Delaware.
Yeah,
just there. Somebody probably ditched it, threw mm-hmm. it out, or something, running, or whatever, but fully loaded.
Right.
Unbelievable.
Oh yeah.
What could have happened?
Oh yeah. And kids run across that. They don't know how dangerous these guns are. They think that they're toys.
Yeah.
And when they watch cartoons,
video games,
and they fire and shoot and they see the blood come out. Mm-hmm. It's like it's a game to them.
Yeah.
So a lot of these kids really think that that's a game unless you mm-hmm. teach them otherwise.
Yeah. And there's no do overs.
Correct. No.
Yeah. I've done too many funerals. There's no do overs. Serving in combat as a combat medic, I'm sure you've seen a lot even in that. How did that military experience shape your perspective for civil law enforcement?
Well, we spent a very short time because Nixon pulled everybody out of Nam.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of that was really talking with soldiers, helping
back.
Right, coming back, mm-hmm. With psychologists,
gotcha.
And just being there so that we can listen to those soldiers, listen to what they had to say. A lot of them came back, as you would know, with a whole lot of problems.
Oh yeah,
and I'm so glad that Nixon did stop that so-called police action mm-hmm. and pull those men and women, out from that country from serving. The way they did, and coming back home, you had to deal with the public and groups that call you baby killers and meeting you at the airport and signs and all mm-hmm. this kind of stuff and then the shooting happened at the college and then it made it even worse.
And all the protests, which we still see to this day, but we grin and bear and hope to get everybody's voices heard. You held leadership roles for local law enforcement, Homeland Security. How has that really changed you? I think all of your life experience helps mature you mm-hmm. to a certain degree, but how do you think that's really changed your perspective on the world as opposed to if you hadn't?
Man, well, I have enforcement perspective with that, and then a human community service perspective as well. And on the enforcement side of it, we need that. I've seen it without enforcement officers and supporting those departments and people mm-hmm. that do that work. It becomes very, how can I say it? It becomes we against them.
Yes,
and that's what happens a lot of times when you see police officers. They got the blue line
blue line, yeah.
and all of this kind. Yeah. It's because a lot of that is because the public pushed them into supporting each other.
Yeah.
And when you have police officers that then, if they think the public is not supporting them, mm-hmm. then they start supporting each other. That's when you start having issues because they are each other's, you know, crutch.
Yeah.
And so I've seen a lot of that. I've talked to a lot of officers. I responded to scenes mm-hmm. with officers. We were state agents, so mm-hmm. we were support personnel for local law enforcement. Mm-hmm. So I've seen that side of it. I've mm-hmm. seen the other side of it when the public community lose respect.
Yes.
For those officers because of what they see out there. And mm-hmm. sometimes, and I always tell people this when we talk about police officers and policing, and we have a program, it's called What mm-hmm. You Do and Stop by Police. Every police officer is not, you know.
The enemy.
Right. We make some over a million stops a day in this country, and over a million stops a day, very few of those are, you know, something goes wrong. Mm-hmm. Very, very few of those, someone gets hurt, and very, very, very few of those, someone gets killed. So those officers are really doing, they're doing a great job.
Yeah.
But we also have bad officers out there, too, and I never shy away from talking about that, because I've been around officers that I had to walk up to them and say, you know, one other thing happened, you know, we're going to have some issues.
Yeah.
And I was in a raid one time in Lucas County, what I was saying, what agency it was, and I had to come to the assistance of some citizens at a bar mm-hmm. because these police officers began to misuse those citizens, and it ended up the charges that were filed, criminal charges mm-hmm. against one individual. When I talked with the county prosecutor mm-hmm. and the city prosecutor, they dismissed those charges mm-hmm. because they were the wrong thing. So we have officers that don't do things the way their policies and the way laws say. But always tell officers, the only way you're going to stop officer abuse of your citizens is by another officer.
Yes.
Those officers need to stand up and do the right thing and stop that. And so I was known a while there for if Earl Mack shows up on the scene, just chill out. And that's okay.
What do you think about community engagement? You know, I'm pretty... it's hard to crack the nut of Toledo Police Department, no offense to TPD, but at least we were able to participate in their community engagement and coffee with cops and things of that nature, where the community comes to actually meet the police officer and the police officer knows the community. So when those interactions happen, which it could be any one of us getting stopped at any time, you might not necessarily personally know the officer, but at least you're familiar with each other so that you're not suspect to them and vice versa.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Do you think that's helpful?
Oh, I love community engagement mm-hmm. with police officers. That's how we do get to know each other.
Yeah.
But I really love that community engagement when the officer is in the community and they show that, you know, the empathy, mm-hmm. you know, to want to help. We were out not too long ago, and I'm not going to say what the police department it was, and we seen a car with two females. The car, the hood was up, and they were pulled over, so mm-hmm. something was wrong, and a couple officers just rolled right by them.
Wow.
And we looked at that and said, you know, that should not be happening.
Yeah.
I know I can say this. I know in the State Highway Patrol, and I have a lot of respect and relationships and experience with the State Highway Patrol, with our Ohio State Highway Patrol, they wouldn't have never done that.
Yeah.
Because that's part of where I grew up, on, mm-hmm. you know, under them. So when I go in to talk to police groups, I talk about that.
Yeah.
I talk
never about, be too busy.
Correct.
Yeah.
Talk about those experiences. And if you want support, you have to give support as well.
Yeah.
And sometimes because of whether it's television, mm-hmm. the news media, politics, what have you, we turn officers mm-hmm. away from that kind of support in the community because of all the complaints that you know that they get, mm-hmm. and I always tell people again, communities, only a few officers in this country are bad officers, but anytime a bad officer do something, man, it
spirals.
Cascades into
out of
the
control.
whole country.
Yeah.
And so we kind of talk about that. That's why we had the program, What to Do and Stop by Police. And
I remember I was in my uniform, and I used public transportation for that purpose in Charlotte. Plus, they never charged me anyway to ride. We had trains and buses down there. And it was just during the riot, and I won't say what it was about, but you probably put two and two together. There was a gentleman that lost his life at his own hand by cop. And I was just riding to go downtown to do my patrol. Man, that was a bad idea. That's a day where I should have been in a patrol vehicle because, man, the pure animus was more than palatable. I was cussed at. I was one little lady act like she wanted to pick a fight with me. I'm like, you don't want to do that, you know. I understand, but I'm just trying to get to work, just like hopefully you are, or going to school, whatever you're doing. It doesn't take much for things to spiral out of control. And that's why I think that we really need to focus on, as you're doing with the Buffalo Soldiers, the humanity of each other. You know, we're at the end of the day, we're all human. You want to get home? I want to get home.
Well, and you have to look at it too. Police officers lose their lives protecting people they don't even know.
Yes.
And so I talk about that a lot. You know, so we look at an officer that is, I say, murdered, you know, doing a job. It's because he or she was trying to protect that community.
Well, the young man that lost his life here in Ohio recently, he was just directing traffic.
Yeah.
The young man that lost his life a couple of years back went to his funeral in front of the Catholic Church on Collingwood.
Correct.
Yeah. He was not even involved. He was protecting the perimeter, and that was it for him. So not saying that all policemen are victims, nor am I saying that all civilians are victims, but we just really need to come to a place where we understand each other, I think.
Oh, yeah.
And again, I that's why I commend what the Buffalo Soldiers are doing, and I'm thankful to be a part of the Buffalo Soldiers, full disclosure. Speaking of which, you guys got a lot of awards, a lot. Tell us about some of the historic legacy and the awards that the Buffalo Soldiers have obtained over the years for your service.
I need the list in front of me.
We need a little bit more time. How about that?
Yeah, but you know, we're just fortunate to be who we are and to do the things we do, because if you look at the Buffalo Soldiers from 1866, they protected this country.
Mm-hmm.
They done some of the same things back then that you see us doing today. Mm-hmm. And so people notice that. We've had the Martin Luther King Award. Mm-hmm. We've had the community award from the city of Toledo's mayor.
Mm-hmm.
We've had, oh man,
it's a lot.
It's a lot of awards that we've had.
But well earned.
Yeah, right.
Because you're not doing it for even thinking about it.
No.
My experience has been with you guys, it's all about what we're doing in that moment for the community, be it motorcycle safety or with the kids or even with the elders. It's not just the kids that you go speak to. You speak to our elders as well.
We talked to our elders about our safe and secure program, how to stay safe, all of the entrapments out there, your phone calls, and be careful of that, of people you don't know. And because our elderly and young are the most targeted people. Yeah. You know, in this country.
Yes.
And so we do a lot in that area, and then we give out things. Especially we just had a senior program at senior centers here.
Yeah.
A few days ago, and we talked to them about safety. We then for door prizes, we give out whistles, American made whistles, that are military whistles that are very loud, and we tell them, and even in the park when we see a single female walking in the park, we give them a whistle and tell them, look, here's how this whistle sounds. And usually Miss Hogg, Lorinda Michaela, has her whistle on, and she blows it.
I was going to say, does she blow the whistle?
Oh yeah, and I'm telling you, it is loud, and we tell them the next time we see you either at shopping by yourself or walking in the park by yourself, if you don't have that whistle, you get penalized.
Wow. Wow, that's awesome. And you reward the children as well.
Oh yes,
if they do well.
Yes, pay
attention.
That's it. The first thing is respect.
Yes.
If you listen to one of our members, which is Fred LeFevre, when we first walk into a classroom, we talk about respect first. Mm-hmm. Here's how you do that respect. You don't talk when we're talking. Mm-hmm. If you have something to say, raise your hand, stand up, tell us your name, and then ask your question or answer the question. And we have one little girl that was going to challenge that one time, so we just ignored her. She would then start talking out. We ignored her. We called somebody else. By the end of the day, she was raising her hand, standing up, and answering her question. So
you wore her down. Yeah. That's good. And kids need that. They really do. Mm-hmm. Now, to the motto, deeds, not words. Who came up with that?
Well, that's if you look at the Harlem Hellfighters, uh-huh, from World War II,
yeah,
that was one of their models, deeds, not words. And if you know anything about the Harlem Hellfighters, that's just what they're about, and that's partially why that war was won.
Now, it seems self-evident, but what does it mean?
Well, it means deeds, not words. Mm-hmm. That's if you're going to do something, and I'll tell you this, I don't know if you've seen this in some of these meetings, We'll go to meetings, and if all you're going to do is sit around that meeting and talk, and next meeting we come to you, are you talking again? The third meeting, we don't come back anymore, because we want to see deeds. We want to see what is your actions. Mm-hmm. We need actions out there. Anybody can bump their gums, yeah, all they want to, but people in our community need action. Our children need action. They need, mm-hmm, they need hands-on experience. Yeah. So that's what that means, deeds and not words.
Yeah. And aside from everything that we mentioned, again, back to the Buffalo Soldiers, you guys feed people in the streets as well.
Oh yeah, we have a street ministry, as, yeah, you want to call it.
Yeah.
But it's our homeless street suit operation, where when the temperature gets really low,
yeah,
we go out with Chef Regnus, mm-hmm, who is one of the chefs at Pena County, mm-hmm, and he fixes soups, mm-hmm, coffee, hot chocolate and those things, and we'll go out in the street, mm-hmm, and anyone that we find in the street, we will pull over and give them the soup, coffee, give them shoes,
mm-hmm,
socks and
blankets. Socks and
all that. Yeah. And we had a young lady this year come up, and she it was snow out, mm-hmm, and she was walking in sandals, mm-hmm, and we asked her, and she just had a little blanket around. We asked her, you know, do you have any shoes? No. So we gave her a pair of shoes. We had a pair of shoes that fit her. Wow. Which was great, and we gave her a coat, a winter coat, and so those things are at the heart of us in helping our community, along with other agencies. We got a lot of agencies, mm-hmm, out there. We just, you know, we just need to keep it going.
Yeah, and full disclosure, we've interacted as well with our church ministry,
yes,
with your,
yep,
overflow. Yeah, it's awesome serving the community, mm-hmm, that you exist in.
Yeah.
And you get to meet some of the most amazing people, even those that other folks kind of brush over and,
correct,
ignore. You'd be surprised at some of the backgrounds of the people, even at Cherry Street Mission, mm-hmm, and or on the street.
Oh, we got professors that's yeah, on the street. People that were once... and I won't say once looked up to,
yeah,
but they were at that
well,
status.
In society, yeah.
Right. And something happened, and that can happen to any one of,
yeah,
us.
Depression, anxiety,
yeah,
drug abuse, and it's not just illegal drugs. Sometimes it's actual prescription drugs. I've heard it all, seems like, but then I still hear more. Yeah. So we're so thankful for what you do in the community. Thank you so much for joining us today. But my final question of the day, what do you think your legacy is? For all that we've talked about, and we didn't talk about everything today, and what would you like your legacy to be?
Yeah, I never much talk about that. You know, I'm a Harley man. I ride a Harley.
Okay.
but you know, just to do something that some young person to see, mm-hmm, and get interested and want to follow that, because, mm-hmm, as we, you know, we're going to pass on one day, and that, yes, needs to be passed down to younger folks, you know, to keep that kind of mission going. If not, we all are going to be lost. So that legacy, my legacy would be hopefully that some young person pick up on that, and that they move it forward. If we help some young person, mm-hmm, we help a family, that they pass it forward.
Hmm. Well, that'd be a good legacy. And prayerfully, we'll get that. I know we've got some new people coming in. I blessed two new people I've never met before this last time. Their bikes. It was kind of fun. And I did the Catholic rites. But nevertheless, we're so thankful for the new members of the Buffalo Soldiers, including myself, full disclosure. I've been elected the chaplain of the Buffalo Soldiers. Oh, boy. Do I have to get a bike now? I haven't had a bike for 30 years.
Well, look, you know, Paula Hitz Hudson is one of our members, and she rides a spider. It's a three-wheel. You can handle a spider. But no, you don't need to have a bike. You have that mentality that we look for. You know, you love the Buffalo Soldiers, what the Buffalo Soldiers did in 1866, mm-hmm. and that history. So that's all it takes here, and a clean record.
Okay, so no bike. Necessary.
Not necessary.
I have you on record. Any final words of encouragement that would give the young men and women who are considering careers in public service, law enforcement, or just civic leadership as you're doing right now?
About the only thing I can say is, is self-respect. Mm-hmm. You know, if you have self-respect, mm-hmm. There would be no issues with respecting others. Mm-hmm. And that's something that's missing in a lot of our young folks, and that's why we do what we do in our schools. So I would say self-respect. You have that self-respect, mm-hmm. you can go far in life. That's what happened to me. You know, I mm-hmm. said I went to Parkland. I was all boys school because I couldn't make it in
you
regular
school.
You
didn't start out with respect, but you ended up with
it. I ended up with respect. So respect, self-respect means a lot.
Yes. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Brother Earl, for coming in.
Thank you.
For the Voices of Legacy. Do you have any books or any movies? Sound like with all that detective work, you ought to have somebody writing a book for you.
Somebody keeps talking about that, but I don't know. You know, maybe you'll do it for me.
Well, if nobody else will. I was thinking that was a movie you were describing early with the undercover stuff. We'll just change all the names like we do on Law and Order. But thank you so much for coming on the Voices of Legacy on WGTE. It's a pleasure having you here. Look forward to great, great things moving forward. You can check out the Buffalo Soldiers where?
At www.ToledoBuffaloSoldiersWithAnS.org.
Thank you for listening to the Voices of Legacy. This is your friend, Pastor Carl Mitchell, the third, your host of this program. We want you to go to wgte.org/legacy to like, share, subscribe, and hear all of our past podcasts and our future podcasts. Be a friend and join with us in the Voices of Legacy, where you're writing your own legacy every day that you live. Have a blessed day.
WGTE. Voices around us.